Exodus chapter number 20. And I'm going to read verse number 8 through to verse number 11. Exodus chapter number 20. I'll read from verse number 8 through to verse number 11. Exodus 20, 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Shall we pray? Father, as we build your word this morning, we recognize the word in there is not ours, it's not mine, it's yours. And therefore, Lord, we ask that you breathe upon your words this morning. Let this word come alive unto us. Let there be illumination in our heart as we behold your word. May we not be dragged, O God, into legalism, but into freedom indeed. The Bible says, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. We ask, O Lord, that you free our mind, free our soul, connect us with the mind of God, the Father, as we share God's word this morning. Thank you because you're going to do this and much more. For we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. We started a series a few weeks ago. We titled it The 10 Laws of Freedom. The 10 Laws of Freedom. And we've been going through the 10 commandments. Like I announced earlier today, we're going to the fourth commandment. I'm going to be teaching by the grace of God on what I've titled Freedom from Toiling. Freedom from toiling, to toil. Freedom from toiling. Now we see the first law, the first commandment, because it frees us from worshiping the false God. We see the second commandment, and we see that it frees us from worshiping the true God in the false way. And we saw the third commandment, and we discovered that it frees us from coming under the curse of carrying the name of the Lord in vain. By the way, for those that are fellowship with us for the first time, all of these are available on our website, so you can catch up with all of them if you like. Today, I'm going to be talking about freedom from toiling, freedom from toiling, because I believe that's actually the central message of the first commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, work was not prescribed as a punishment for man. Work was a blessing. It was made by God to be a blessing to man. So, work did not come into the stage because of sin. What came on the stage because of sin was toiling. So, work was made by God to be a blessing. Toiling came as a result of a curse that was placed on man when man fell in the garden. So toiling is what happens when one's work life comes out of sync with divine prescription. Toiling is what happens when our work life or our assignment is out of sync with the divine order or the divine expectation. God gave Adam the instruction, you are to tend the garden, to keep the garden, to watch over the garden. That was the prescribed work that was given to Adam. But when man fell, the Bible says God cursed the ground, and that was when toiling started. That was when eating from the sweat of your face started. I've heard people use that expression, you know, I'm laboring, I'm eating from the sweat of my face. Some people will say, I'm eating from the sweat of my brow. And I said, no, that's a cursed man. It's a cursed man that eat from the sweat of his face. A blessed man eat from the blessings of his hands. So toiling came as a result of a curse. But work has always been prescribed by God. And as long as it is in sync with the divine order, it is a blessing. Now, the question is, what is the divine order? The divine order that we see in this place is 6 + 1 equals wholeness. You shall work 6 days, and on the 7th day, you shall take it out as a rest day unto the Lord. And we're going to get to that in a short while. So it's the 6 + 1. It's not just equal to 7. 6 + 1 is equal to wholeness. You are made whole if you follow the divine prescription. Now, but there has been instances when we have thought that maybe God is not as smart. And so we substitute God's order with our own order. And so you have people coming with 7 + 0. 7 + 0 simply means that there is no rest day. You know, the man just keeps working and working and working. And there are instances when people have prescribed 10 plus 0. If you're, for those of us who are good students of history, during the French Revolution, they came up with 9 + 1 to make a 10 day. Actually, they were kind of disgusted that there was so much influence over the nation by the Catholic Church, by Christianity. And they wanted to cause a disruption to that. They didn't like the idea of the calendar that gives the people the sense to think about God on the 7th day. So on October 1793, they had a national convention and adopted what they refer to as a revolutionary calendar. Now, so this revolutionary calendar was states that you have to work 9 days, and then you take the 10th day as the day of rest. So the 10th day, rather than calling it a Sunday, because they actually wanted to get rid of the word Sunday, they called it some other things. They call it Decade. So on Decade is the day of your rest. And they made sure that people no longer worship the God, have worship services on Sunday, the usual Sunday according to the Gregorian calendar. And so people started having their rest day on day number 10. That is a human way of saying to God that, God, I think we're smarter. And each time man comes out with an idea that gives the impression that they are smarter than God, it further reveals their foolishness. That was exactly what happened. They came up with a calendar. They divided the year into 30 days. To 12 months, each month having 30 days. And then they suddenly realized, okay, we still have 5 days unaccounted for. So what are we going to do? So they labeled those last 5 days as the days of, you know, of different celebration. The first day, they call it a virtue day. The second day, talent day. The third day, labor day. The fourth day, opinion day. The fifth day, honor day. And in a leap year, they say, okay, so we are going to be having an extra day, which is the 6th day. So they call it the revolution day for the leap year. Now, and it was not too long for them to realize that this was not going to work. As a matter of fact, what was surprising was the fact that it actually lasted up to 12 years before it crumbled. And then by the time Napoleon came in 1801, he just nullified the whole thing. Say, let's go back to the original order. Let's go back to the 6 + 1. Because one of the writers say that they were actually having many more people who were sick during the time that they adopted this revolutionary calendar, and they felt that they were really losing a lot more than they would have lost if they had followed the divine order. Now, I went into that to let you know that not only is the fact that people keep thinking about how to change the divine order in our day and time. There has always been an attempt to change the divine order over the ages, over the centuries, and this is just one of the reasons. This is just one an example of such. 6 + 1 equals holiness, and when there is a deviation from that, it causes trouble and chaos. Now, let's go back to the basis. What does God mean when he says, remember the Sabbath day? What is the Sabbath? Now, I will not spend so much time about talking about the Sabbath, about certain specific details about the Sabbath, especially the law regarding the Sabbath. I will just give an overview of it, and then we'll move on into what actually pertains to us today. Now, God established the seventh day long before you will come across the word Sabbath. We had the Bible reading this morning, and that was read in the book of Exodus chapter number 16. And that is actually the first time that you will hear the word Sabbath. But that was hundreds of years after God had already prescribed the seventh day as the day of rest. In fact, the day of rest dated back as early as the creation. So when man was going to have the first full day that man will have was a day of rest. You remember man was created on the sixth day. So the first full day that man was going to experience was a day of rest. Now, it was called Sabbath down the track in the dealings of God to a particular nation, the Jewish nation. So the day of rest has always been, and it actually preceded what we now refer to today as the Jewish Sabbath. So the seventh day was given to all of God's creation. It was not just to a section of people. It was given to all of God's creation, but the term Sabbath was applied to God's dealing with the children of Israel, with the Jews. What does Sabbath mean? It just means simply to cease or to stop. It means to cease or to stop. Now, I know there are details about people talking about the fact that you have to have church services on the Sabbath. And the Bible has to deal with that because people are bringing people down into legalism as far as Sabbath is concerned. By the way, the Jewish Sabbath does not start on Saturday morning. The Jewish Sabbath actually starts on Friday evening at sunset, and it ends on Saturday evening at sunset. So it's a sunset to sunset thing. At their day, the Jewish calendar actually starts in the evening, and then it doesn't start in the morning. And probably they use the instruction in Genesis chapter number 1. You know, the Bible will say, and it was evening and morning, and it was day 1. And it was evening and morning, and it was day 2. So their own calendar actually starts in the evening. So by Friday evening, the Jewish Sabbath will actually start. Now, and people still today apply that to our dealings with God. When in actual fact, that was supposed to actually be a shadow of the things to come. Colossians chapter number 2, I want us to turn there briefly. Let's just establish something before we move on. Colossians chapter number 2, the book of Colossians is actually after the Philippians in the New Testament. So you have Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter number 2, and I'll read verse number 16. This is what it says. So, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. Why? Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of, say it, Christ. Say it louder, please. Christ. The substance is of Christ. Now, what is that place saying? It's saying that the Sabbath, as prescribed to the Jews by God, is a shadow of what is to come. And the substance is Christ. The substance is Christ. When Jesus came in the human form on the earth, that was why he had troubles with the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees wanted Sabbath to be observed their way. As a matter of fact, they added more rules and more legislations, if you like, to the originally prescribed Sabbath so that it became like a burden. And Jesus said, no, you've missed it, you've missed the point. That Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Somebody once said that the Sabbath has kept Israel more than Israel has kept the Sabbath, because within the Sabbath is the prescription of God to deal with toiling and struggling and labor. Now, why I went into that is so that you clear your mind about the fact that God is not so specific or not so particular about days and times, is more important about the principle of the word Sabbath. And as long as this principle drives you to the substance, the person of Christ, then God is at peace. Now, and we're going to get into that in a short while. So we're not going to expend so much time about why are you having church on Sunday? Shouldn't you have started having services on Saturday? You know, the Bible says, don't let anyone judge you regarding that. Not the moon, not the day, not the Sabbath. Because those are shadows of the things to come, and the substance is Christ. Now, let's go into the main thing. Now, what does God mean when he says, remember the Sabbath day? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There are two instructions put together into one. Number one, observe the Sabbath day. Observe the Sabbath day. And number two, remember to keep it holy. Observe the Sabbath day is number one. And number two, remember to keep it holy. Let me make it in plain language, in a simple plain language. The first one is, don't forget to take a day off every 7 days. Don't forget to take a day off. Now, I know a lot of us are guilty of that because we just don't observe this aspect of things. Don't forget to take a day off. Why? Because rest is important. I'm preaching to the church and I'm preaching to myself. Rest is important. And each time we violate the divine order, toiling sets in, like I did establish at the beginning. Each time we think that we are smarter than God that has prescribed rest after every 6 days, toiling starts, labor starts, struggling starts. It amazes me how many people will go to see medical professionals, and all they will be prescribed is, come on, you need rest. You need rest. And then on their way, how they have to pay, you know, just to get that instruction. You need rest. You know, there have been instances when people have come to my office, and after we have spoken and have talked about this resting and they're on their way out, I just say, this guy just needs to know that he needs to rest. You know, in fact, there are instances, there are places around the world where if you prescribe rest, the guy will not do it. No? And so what the doctor will do is to bring the person to the hospital and just put him on a drip, you know, and keep him on the bed just because he needs rest. He needs rest. And we need rest, people of God. We need rest. The way the Lord designs this body, he designs it to rest at least once every 7 days. That's why I prescribed it. Rest after every 7 days. Now, can I ask you a question? Why did God have to rest every 7 days? The Bible says it does not grow weary. It doesn't slumber. I believe so strongly that it is to give us a pattern that he wants us to run our lives with. He wants to give us a pattern. He wants to prescribe to us the way he wants us to run our lives. So after every 6 days, the Lord says, take a day off. Stop work. Stop traveling. Stop the emails. You know, if I want to say the 20th chapter, Exodus chapter 20, when it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 6 days you shall labor and send all your emails. 6 days you shall labor and engage with all your business. 6 days you shall work and do everything that has to do with work. 6 days, I give it to you. But on the seventh day is a rest day. Is a rest day. So the first reason why the Lord prescribed the Sabbath is rest. The second reason why the Lord prescribed the Sabbath is to keep it holy. The second reason why he prescribed the Sabbath is for reflection. Reflection. And I will spend a bit more time on this before we round up, because I actually want us to take some time to reflect on this. Observe the Sabbath day. That's the first one. Remember to keep it holy. That's the second one. Observe the observe the Sabbath day. Now, when it says remember to keep it holy, what does it mean? Now, keeping a day work-free doesn't mean that you have kept that day holy. That you abstained from working does not mean make that day holy. And this is really very important because many of us are actually very good at completing the first aspect of this very important instructions from the Lord. We take day off. As a matter of fact, some of us take more than one day off in a week, in a seven-day period. But the main aspect is the second aspect, which is to keep it holy, which I believe many more of us are violating. And so we're not getting the result of what the first one is supposed to deliver into our hands. Somebody will say, but I take time off, but I'm still tired. I don't work, without taking break, but I'm still tired. I'm still drained in my soul. I'm still drained in my spirit. I still feel drained. I still wake up on Monday morning to want to go to work, and I'm still drained. What's wrong with me? Now, I bet you some of the things that are wrong with the way we handle the day of the Sabbath is actually in the second aspect of this commandment. It says, take a day off. Observe the Sabbath day. But there is a way you keep it holy, and that's the second aspect. Make sure you keep it holy. The Bible actually says the Lord blessed it and hallowed it. The word hallow means to set apart for a holy thing, for a holy reason. Now, there is no way we can make a day holy on our own. In fact, that passage uses the word remember. Remember. To remember is to reflect upon, to bring to mind, is to think about something, is to bring it to focus. Now, what exactly would the Lord want us to bring to focus on a day like this? Now, so the separation, the rest of Sabbath, is not just a rest from work. It's a rest from work onto something. Are you following me, people of God? It's a rest from work onto something. It's to disengage from work in order to be able to help us to focus on something else. And what does the Lord want us to focus on? He wants us to focus on our engage. He wants us to engage with the Holy One. He wants us to engage with the Holy One. Now, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, I believe verse 2, there is none holy as the Lord, and there is none beside you. There is none holy as the Lord. Now, how do we make our Sabbath day holy? There is no way we can generate holiness from ourselves. It is impossible, practically impossible. So to make the day holy, we will need to engage with the Holy One, from whom holiness emanates. From whom holiness emanates. So it's not just a time of taking a day off work. It's a time of taking a day off work and to focus on a person that has holiness to be prescribed to us, through whom we can get holiness. That's our connection with God on those days, our focus on Him, our attention on Him, our thinking about Him is actually what makes that day holy. To put it in a simple statement, the Sabbath day is the day that you rest from work in order to focus on God. That's the simple way. It's a day that you take off from work to focus on God. You know why God said, why God has prescribed that? Because we are a busy people. And when you are busy, it is very difficult for you to have a focus on something else, because your mind is just scattered. And the Lord wants us to bring our focus onto Himself. At least one day in a week. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't think about God on the other days of the week. Now, the Lord has just put this as something that just in case your week has been so muddled up with your thought about things, about people, about money, about investment, about studies, there is a day that you have to recalibrate. There is a day that you have to re-energize, to re-strategize. And that's why it says, remember to keep that day holy. Remember to keep that day holy. So it's not just a day of rest. It's also a day of engagement with the Holy One. That's what keeps it holy, people of God. That's what keeps it holy. Now, can I ask you, what are the things that the Lord wants us to reflect upon? Because those are the two things that the Lord wants to happen on the Sabbath. Rest, reflection. Church, please stay with me. Rest, reflection. Rest from work. Reflection. Focus on God. Now, what does the Lord want us to focus on the Sabbath day? What does the Lord want us to focus on? What does the Lord want us to bring to mind on the Sabbath day? Number one, the Lord wants us to focus, and this is really key. This is really key. The Lord wants us to focus on His provision. He wants us to focus on God's provision. I strongly believe that the reason why the Lord asks you not to work on one day out of seven is to detach you from having this, is to help you from being detached from having this idea that your work or your business is what sustains you. It wants to reorganize your thinking to know that it is not your work or your business or your engagement that sustains you. I sustain you. It's to remember God's provision. It's to remember God's provision. It's to remember that it is the Lord that provides. In the passage that we read earlier today in Exodus chapter number 16, like I said, that's the place that the word Sabbath is first mentioned in the Bible. There is a law that they call the law of first mention. That is to say, just to make it simple, is to say that when you want to know about something, about a concept, about something that is in the Bible, just look for where it is first mentioned. And then the things around it, the situation around it, will give you an idea of what is in the heart of God, the fundamental reason why that thing actually exists. So, for instance, if you want to know about why the Lord prescribed the Sabbath, just first look at the place where in the Bible it is first mentioned. And it is first mentioned here in Exodus chapter number 16. God is the one that provides for you. So what did God do? He asked the children of Israel, they were already calling, their leaders, Moses and Aaron. You guys just brought us into the wilderness to die. When we were in Egypt, we were eating something really good, but we're here, we're just sitting down, we're not getting fed. And the Lord said, no, don't worry, I'm going to surprise them, I'm going to feed them. And the Lord brought quails in the evening, and they ate and they were fed. And then in the morning, they went out and they saw something. Now, this is something they have never seen it before. It was completely new. In fact, the word manna means, what is this? What is this? Now, they have never seen this before. And the Lord said, and the Lord provided the manna. And this was really beautiful. The Bible refers to it later as the food of angels. This was really beautiful. But there was an instruction with it. You take as much as you want for the day. Just take as much as you want for your day. And then they will go there, but the children of Israel now. They will go there and they will take much more than they will need for the day. And the Bible says, because they have taken much more than they will need, because they think, oh, well, we only know what is today. We don't know what is tomorrow. So we have to be smart. Let's just keep a little bit for tomorrow. But that was not what was prescribed. Let's keep a little bit for tomorrow. And by the time they will wake up the following day, the Bible says it was already experiencing rottenness. Why? Because they kept it for longer than God wanted them to be fed for that day. And not for tomorrow, because he will feed them tomorrow. You know, when people skip rest day, it is not a work problem. It is a trust problem. When people don't follow the divine prescription of God to take a day of rest and break for themselves, it is not a money problem. It is not even a work problem. It is a trust problem. It is because they don't trust the Lord that he will provide for them. That's at the root of everything. Every other thing is just ephemeral, transient, just on the surface. It is a trust problem. And then they will keep a little bit for tomorrow. But something will happen on the sixth day. On the sixth day, they will go there and they will gather, and the Lord will provide for them. And the Lord has asked them to take twice as much that they would normally have taken. Why? Because on the Sabbath day, they are not supposed to come around to look for anything. It's not. It's a work day. It's a work-free day. They were not supposed to come and look for any manna. So they were supposed to take twice as much on the sixth day. And look at this. This is very interesting. By the time they will wake up on the seventh day, what they have packaged together on the sixth day will still stay as fresh as it was the day before. Why? Because the Lord preserved it. The Lord preserved it. And the Bible says something. I want you to turn to the place. Exodus chapter number 16. Look at what it says. Exodus chapter number 16. See what it says in verse number 25. Exodus chapter number 16. It said, then Moses said, eat that today. In other words, what you have gathered, eat that today. For today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Verse 25. I'll start again, please. Let's start from verse 24. So they laid it up till morning as Moses' commandment, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. Now look at me, people of God. Today you will not find it in the field. Today, on the Sabbath day, on the day of your rest, you will not find it in the field. What's that saying? If you go out on the Sabbath day, on your rest day, you will not find it. In other words, you will not get anything if you go out on the Sabbath day, on the rest day. On the day of your rest, if you engage with work, the Bible says you will find nothing. Somebody will say, but you don't get it. I go on the 7th. In fact, I go on the 7th, on the 8th, and I get paid. You don't get what he's saying. It says it's not going to increase you. It will not have any impact in increasing you because you have violated the divine order. You will not find it. You will not find it on the 7th day. You will not find it. You know, businesses struggle around the world. And in the U.S., it's a very competitive environment, especially for fast food restaurants. Now, there is a fast food restaurant in the U.S. That is called Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is a restaurant that specializes in, preparing chicken and some other things. Now, Chick-fil-A don't open on Sundays. Because their founder, who founded the place in 1967, happened to be a very devout Christian by the name Truett Cathy, and he was brought up as a young boy by a very devoted mother. So they don't open on Sundays, and they have stated it on their information booklet. We don't open on Sunday because we want to give our people a day of rest and of worship. They don't open on Sundays. Now, if you know the way it runs, a fast food restaurant sell more on Sundays than in any other day of the week. But they don't open on Sundays. And it's an established law in that particular organization. Now, recently they were trying to go through the resources of different fast food restaurants to know how much they make in a year. For fast food restaurants that are making the most in terms of dollars, they make about $1 million per year an average one. That means some people make a little more, some people make more, some people make less. But if you average it out, they make $1 million every year. Chick-fil-A, without opening on Sundays, make $5 million every year. And they don't work on Sunday. And the Sunday is supposed to be the day that people are supposed to have the best sale. If you're going to go into fast food restaurants and you say you're not going to work on Sunday, people will laugh at you that this guy does not understand economics. Now, but they understand the divine order. I believe that the blessing of the Lord came upon that business because they followed the prescribed order. People of God, listen to me. If you go out on your rest day, you will find nothing. It will not hard to you. And that's why some of us have the way that we have. We know we have worked very hard, but it is just not working. And we think that the solution to that is to work more. You're getting it wrong. It's to establish a rest day. And on that rest day, you will connect with God, your maker. Because it's from him that your provision, your sustenance come. So it is to help us to reflect on the fact that God's provision. Number two, it also helps us to reflect on God's pattern of doing things. It helps us to reflect on God's pattern of doing things. In Exodus chapter number 20, the Bible says this regarding the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall walk, or you shall labor and do all your work. But the 7 day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your son. I love that when he says you, nor your son. In other words, not you're not going to work by extension. You know, some people will say, okay, I will stay at home and I will send the boys out. You know, he said, no, not you, not your business, not nothing around you works on that day, on that Sabbath day, on that day of rest. Nothing around you works. I said, not your male servant, not your cattle, nor your female. Verse number 11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and sea and all that is in them and rested the seventh day. That establishes the divine order. Now, I said this helps us to reflect on God's pattern. There is a pattern that God works. There is a pattern that the kingdom works. And it is to help us to reflect on that particular pattern that affects our lives. God is not an haphazard God. He's not somebody that just wakes up and just makes different rules. He has a pattern. And on the day of our rest is to reflect on the pattern that God has established. What do I mean by pattern? You know, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 103, verse 7, the Bible says, God reveals his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. There is a way God works. There is a pattern that God works. A believer's life is supposed to have that kingdom pattern. Now, what do I mean by pattern? The Bible says, no one who put his trust in him will ever be put to shame. It's a pattern. No one who put his trust in him will ever be put to shame. It's a pattern. So the pattern the Lord establishes is 6-1. 6-1. 6-1. Just to let us know that he works with pattern. In other words, you can predict what God will do. You may not be able to predict how he will do it, but you can predict exactly what he will do. No one who put his trust in him will ever be put to shame. The Bible says, I've been younger, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed beg bread. It's a pattern. Everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who knocks, the door is open to everyone. He said, for everyone that asks, receive. And everyone who seeks, find. And to everyone that knocks, the door shall be opened. It's a pattern. It's a pattern. Like I said, you may not know exactly what God will do, how God will do it, but you know exactly what God will do. I will give you an instance. When we moved into this country, and I share this with all sense of modesty and just to encourage your heart, the scripture I've just quoted is the one that actually we base our confidence on. No one who put his trust in him will ever be put to shame. So we moved into this country without knowing anyone, and I mean anyone, that can support and sustain us. My wife got a job before we moved into the country. I didn't. Praise God. I said, praise God. All right. So I moved into the country by faith. You know, my faith was this high. You know, when you don't have a job, you need faith, a high level of faith, you know. And shortly after we moved into the country, my wife lost her job. So you now have a family with no income from anyone. anywhere. But the Bible, there is a pattern in God. No one who put his trust in him will ever be put to shame. No one who put his trust in him will ever be put to shame. And we held up onto that word. Now, we knew the pattern that the Lord would use, but we didn't know how exactly he was going to supply our needs. We didn't have many friends. We didn't have family members. So we're like, okay, maybe we're just going to be walking down the street and somebody was going to say, oh, I just love your face and just give you $1,000 bill or whatever. No, whatever. But what the Lord will do was that there was some work I had done in some other countries and I'd even forgotten about it, you know. I didn't even know that they were going to actually call me to pay for it. And they just rang and they just called somebody has to be my link person in that country. And they said, you know, we hold this person, this lot of money, and we want to give it to him. Is he available? I said, tell them I'm available. I'm available, you know. And they just wired the money into that account. And that was how we were able to sustain ourselves for months. You know, so I would just go into the ATM, you know, with some confidence, you know. I just stick it in. And, of course, I lost a lot of money because, you know, the conversion and all those things. But I was sustained. We were sustained. We didn't have anyone to support us. No one. And that money kept coming. It kept coming until I got a job. You know, it's just like the case of manna. It says you will keep eating this manna until you enter into the land of Canaan. And as soon as they step into Canaan, it ceased. Because there is now a higher order of provision of God. You can always rely on that pattern. There is a pattern in God. If you get it, it saves you from troubles. This is the way to get out of toiling, people of God. It's what frees us from toiling and struggling in life. Because there is a pattern in God. And God wants you to reflect on that on your day of rest. He wants you to reflect on that. I want you to reflect on God's pattern. I want you to reflect on God's provision and God's pattern. And finally, he wants you to reflect on his power. On his power. I will read a passage in Deuteronomy chapter number 5 as I bring this service to a close this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. You know, the Ten Commandments is not just found in Exodus chapter number 20. You also find it in Deuteronomy chapter number 5. I want you to turn there, please. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. And I'll read from verse number 15. Or rather, let's read from verse number 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. Deuteronomy chapter number 5 from verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, in which you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor your cattle, nor your strangers who is within your gate, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Verse 15, very important. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched hand. This is what the Lord wants you to remember, people of God. He wants you to remember that you were a slave and there was an outstretched hand, a powerful hand that delivers you. What does that mean? He wants you to reflect on his power, on his great ability to deliver. On your day of rest is a time to reflect and bring to mind the power of God, that God is all powerful. And those are some of the things I believe that the Lord wants us to reflect upon on our day of rest. So it's not a day of rest from work. It's a God-centered kind of rest. A day of rest from work while you focus on God's provision, while you focus on God's pattern of doing things, and while you focus on his power. People of God, I will round up with this. It says, you remember that you were a slave in Egypt. And as a slave in Egypt, you did not have a day of rest. If you continue to live your life in a way that does not follow the pattern of God and in a way that does not follow the prescribed order of having a rest day at least once in 7 days, what you are saying is that you are sending yourself back into Egypt. You are following the prescribed position of a slave. As a slave, you don't have a choice. You've got to go into the field and you don't take a day off. But as a son and as a daughter of God, you have that benefit to experience his rest. And to experience his provision on the day of your rest. This is a call, people of God, unto freedom. A freedom from toiling. An ascension into a platform where you know that you are settled, you are secured. Your sustenance for tomorrow is not in the hand of the work you do. It's in the hand of the Lord. You know, I've had to move from one job to another. Sometimes I move by myself. Sometimes I moved along. But there is always one thing I know. I am sustained by his power. I eat from the blessings of his hand. You know, recently I just met a friend and we're just talking about our schedule. And I told him, you know, I said, I now work 4 days. You know, he said, 4 days, wow. Obviously, I work 4 days now because of a certain focus on some things in my career life, family, and of course the church. So I scaled back, you know. I said, wow, I work 7. In my mind, I said, it's your choice. Your choice. It's not my problem. If you like, you can work 10. I work 4 now. And I'm sustained by the grace of God, by the power of his hand. People of God, let's get this. And we'll stop struggling and toiling. What you will hit tomorrow is not in your work. It's not in your business. It's in the hand of God. He will sustain you. He will sustain you because you have left Egypt. You are no longer a slave. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High King. Shall we pray?